is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Hi friends, this is Steve Shah, owner of Nature's Pavilion. We are a family-owned and operated natural food market and nutritional store for 15 years, located at 564 Route 23 North in Pompton Plains, New Jersey. We offer complimentary one-on-one customer support and advice to educate our guests with the health benefits of organic diets, green living, and proper supplementation for all your family's health and diet needs. This is the place where health-conscious consumers shop and doctors recommend. We also feature New Jersey's largest gluten-free product offerings. We are adding hundreds of new products every week. Visit us online at naturespavilion.net or call us at 973-831-5804. Hope to see you soon.
Escape on a vacation unlike anything you've ever imagined with one call to the experts at Dream Vacations Land and Cruise Travel. Prices have never been better. Mexico and the Caribbean are offering great vacation deals. Cruise lines have special promotional packages, and the cities of Europe are awaiting your arrival. Work with a travel agency that has your best interests in mind, all without any service fees. We are ready to arrange both your personal and business travel plans. Contact Dream Vacations Land and Cruise Travel today at 1-800-609-3012. That's 1-800-609-3012. Or visit justgreatvacations.com and get ready to discover the world.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at autismdonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back in another edition of Hope Saves the Day. I'd like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Good, Lynn. It's great to have you back on with us again this week, as we have a topic that is a very sensitive topic. We also asked some professional opinions as well. I've actually had Brian Wong, who wrote a paper many years ago on this topic about bereavement and autism. But this question was specifically for the social media. It was put out there about, you know, how we talk to children with autism about death and helping children cope with death in the family. It's kind of interesting because I just had a death in our family. We lost our my wife's side of the family. We lost her aunt. So it's kind of interesting how this topic just happened to come up this week. But I know you had some information about some of the listeners out there about their experiences with their families and how they dealt it and how their child handled it.
Yeah, I think it's important to realize that I think it depends on, again, and we always talk about this on every show, it depends on the child's functioning level. So I did get a different variety of answers. Okay, one lady said, I tell my daughter that the person has gone to heaven with God and the angels. She handles death well, but gets angry and cries for about a couple of hours. Another lady said she hasn't had to deal with it yet, so she's not sure what she would do. And another one said the same thing. She hasn't dealt with it yet with any close passing relatives. However, she brings her son, the son's grandfather has been ill, and he gets worried when he sees people very sick, like her grandfather, like his grandfather. He asks the mother, do we know when he's going to die? It sounds morbid, but he really doesn't understand long terminal cancer. I can say he gets nervous She said, I can see he gets nervous going to see the grandfather because he looks different and extremely sick. So those were the answers that I received. It is so hard because it's hard to explain to them what's going on. And also, if it's your immediate family or someone you're close to, you're very emotional too. So I think that's also a difficult thing. And I guess the reason the topic came to me is we had a death also as well in my family, not directly my immediate family, but someone we knew. And I also thought about a lot of people who I'm friendly with in the ASD community who have grandparents who really help out a lot with these kids, like I see them every weekend or every other week or a lot. You know, they're very involved in their lives, go to a lot of activities with them. And I thought, wow, what's going to happen, you know, when these grandparents aren't here anymore? And I know for my son personally, I don't know if I'd be able to explain it to him, you know, being on the severe side of the spectrum. I don't think he has any concept of death or somebody not coming back. So I wanted to also get some professional opinions on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very tough topic to talk about in general. You know, bereavement, I know, like I said, I've had, you know, an expert like Brian Wong who wrote a full paper on this topic and discussed the ins and outs of bereavement. And there's so many also different forms of bereavement as well.
Right.
You know, so what might be bereavement to you might not be bereavement to someone else, depending on what it might be.
Right.
But, you know, dealing with specifically with losing a family member, that can be a great challenge for sure. You know, like my son, you know, obviously he didn't go to the wake, you know, and, you know, we told him, does he comprehend it? I don't really know for sure.
Right, right.
But he does know who, you know, our Aunt Ella, who she was. We had a birthday party for her actually just about a month and a half ago.
Oh,
and
wow.
He sat on her lap and, you know, he gave her a hug. So he knew who she was. He used to,
right,
you know,
right, right.
Always, you know, pay a lot of attention to her at a lot of parties because she was just a wonderful person and
aww,
just possessed this tremendous amount of energy around her. But, you know, does he truly understand what, you know, what's going on? I don't know, you know.
Right, right.
Like you said, when you talk about the level of, you know, their severity of, you know, this where they are in the spectrum, you know, what they comprehend and stuff, it can be a great challenge.
And also, it depends on how often they see the grandparents, too. I remember, actually, this is also why the topic came into my head. I had met someone a few years back, and this particular boy who was a little bit older had seen the grandfather every single weekend. And then when the grandfather died, the father was telling me he had a terrible time with the behaviors really got out of control with the son. So, you know, again, our kids can't express emotions, but it comes out with their behaviors. And it's just a difficult thing to handle because in this particular case, I think the son did know that on some level that he wasn't going to see the grandfather again. And he was angry and upset, you know, and obviously the father, you know, there's something he could do, you know, except try to comfort him on some level. And it's hard, you know, it's really hard and very sad for these kids, you know, too. So, and also the age of the child, too. You know, if a kid is pretty young, like we lost a relative in our family. My son was only 5. And at that point, we just didn't even say anything to him because what were we really going to say? He didn't see him that regularly. He saw him a lot, but he didn't see him, you know, every weekend. So we just let it go. We just didn't say anything. And at that age, I don't know if he would really understand anyway. I mean, now he's understanding a lot more, you know, than he did back then. So, you know, it changes too.
No, it's true. And you know, like for the general, you know, for most of us, you know, losing someone or something that you love and deeply care about is extremely painful.
Right.
And there's all different types of, you know, difficult emotions. You might feel pain or sadness. That will just never let up.
Right.
And they're all normal reactions to a significant loss. So in reality, there really is no right or wrong way to grieve, I believe,
right.
Also.
But there
are tips out there. Like I said, Brian Wong wrote a paper about healthy ways to cope with the pain that in time can help renew you and permit you to move on. But like I said, I mean, some kids, you know, are not able to read or understand that. They might not get it. You know,
right.
You know, they could lose a member in their family, like you said, and they see them a lot, and then all of a sudden they don't understand. I mean, I know that happened with my son because we used to go visit my grandmother, and she lived in a house, I guess it was about 9 years, 10 years. She lived, you know, built an addition on my parents' home, and he used to look for her, you know. So he'd go running in her house, and he'd go to her bedroom, or he'd go in the other room. And, you know, he did that for a while. I would say it was about 6 months. Let's say we went there every other week or so. For about 6 months, he would go in there and look around for her and look and not see anybody. And then after a while, it was kind of strange. He just stopped looking, which was interesting.
They do kind of, I think, in their own way, they kind of get it.
Yeah.
But these were the things that we got from some of the professionals, that some ideas as to what you can do. Here are some important things you can do to support your child as he or she copes with a loss. Number one, state the facts. Be very clear and say he died. That means we won't see him anymore. Because children on the spectrum are so literal, I think you do have to be very literal with the ones who do understand. Incorporate your religious beliefs. Children with autism, like other children, learn values and morals from their parents. Explain religious customs relating to a family member's passing, include your child with autism in your prayers for the departed. Don't be afraid to explain the concept of heaven if that's what you believe in. Just use clear and concise language. Three, acknowledge your child's feelings. Be clear that it is completely acceptable to feel sad, angry, or confused. Children look to you for clues, so it's fine to let them see you cry. I think that's a good one, actually. Four was, and I think this is also good for kids on the spectrum, write a story together. Children with autism are visual learners, so writing a story together about the loss can help your child make sense of what's happening. So that was one expert opinion. I thought those were pretty good tips. the other one said dealing with your own loss and sadness, making your child not as emotionally available, that you're so busy dealing with your own emotions that you're not making yourself as available, emotionally available to your ASD child. I mean, obviously, if it's your parent, it's going to be hard for you to pay attention to your child at the time. Behaviors may be more extreme, and reactions may not be appropriate. When learning about a death, the individual with ASD might laugh, cry, or clap hands. The reaction is difficult to predict and should not be taken as an accurate reflection of the individual's feelings. Okay, what can you do? If a loved one becomes ill, it's best to talk to the ASD individual about the illness, possible hospitalizations. The message should be consistent with all who speak to the individual with ASD. Mixed messages will cause anxiety and confusion. So that was a pretty good one, that when you use the language should be maintained throughout everyone who's speaking to the child about it. There are other things to consider as well, including whether, like you said with your son, including whether the individual with ASD should attend the funeral or memorial service, or who the individual might be left with if not attending. And that was the other expert opinion that we had. I remember when my in-laws passed away, my son was very young, but we, you know, at that point we didn't bring him to anything. We had somebody watch him because he was too little to go to the service. But yeah, I mean, it's a tough thing, especially as they get older and they understand more, or if they're less severe, it's and they understand more what's going on. It can come out with their behaviors. I would talk to the behaviorist too as to how to handle it.
No, definitely. I mean, definitely seek, you know, professional help if you're, you know, in a situation where, you know, your son is dealing with it or your daughter is dealing with it very difficultly. You know, definitely seek, you know, some professional counseling there.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Even if the behaviors get extreme, you might have to change the medication. If the big child's on medication, you might have to change the medication. As I remember that boy who was older, he was becoming very aggressive and upset, and the father just didn't know how to handle it. He was a big kid, and the father just didn't know how to handle it. You know, it was very upsetting. I felt so bad for the guy, for the man who lost his father. It was sad.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very hard thing. And, you know, it could even be a pet, a loss of a pet, too. Can do that as well. You know, a lot of kids get, you know, these therapy dogs, and, you know, God forbid their therapy dog passes away, and, you know, kids sometimes they don't know how to cope with that, and they, you know, they're so used to that, and it can be really hard. I mean, it could be hard on anybody. You know, Loss is a difficult thing to deal with, you know?
It is. And nobody, and we can't even make, even typical people, you know, which I even tell my daughter who's typical, even typical people can't deal with, we don't even understand death, you know? So how can we explain it to a child who doesn't even understand the world around them right now, let alone, you know, death? It's such an abstract concept that this person's never coming back. I mean, I remember my parents telling me about my grandmother. I was four. And my mother said, "You're just not going to see her anymore." And I was like, "What?" You know, I was just
You don't get it at that age. You don't really.
No, it was a terrible. Yeah. Sorry, Mom, but that was really hard. It was really hard on me. Yeah. You know, but I guess that was her only way to explain it to me.
Right.
You know, that we weren't going to see her anymore. So, but it was it's really difficult. So, but you know, I thought those were some good tips. And
no, absolutely, it definitely is a topic that, you know, needs to be talked about more. It's a very difficult, you know, thing to deal with. It's very personal and it's highly individual experience. You know, and everybody's different. Just like every child with autism is different, everyone is going to grieve different. And some people never get over it. Never actually, there's a lot of people that still. To this day, you know, it could be 20 years and they're still dealing with it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it depends on the circumstances. But, you know, if you're struggling, definitely seek some professional help. That's what I always say, Lynn, at that point.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because there's no reason to go through it alone.
Right.
And, you know, some people can start to feel better in weeks or months, or it might even take years. So, you know, but
sometimes a close relative, like you said, I've heard from people, you never really get over that loss. You know, it's just always with you. It's always
I look at my wife, you know, she lost her father when she was 11 and a half years old. He had a heart attack. I mean, you know, that's tough. That's tough to deal with that. And I don't know, you know, how she really dealt with it or not, or, you know, if it still leaves her. And I don't think so, you know.
Right.
It's a very difficult situation.
It's a hard age, to lose. Yeah. I had a couple friends around that age that lost their father, and that's a hard age too, because they're growing up, you know, at that age too. So it's hard. Hitting, you know, puberty and all that. So got a lot going on. That's a tough thing. Very tough. Or a tragic death like that, a sudden death too, is very hard. A shock to the family, you know. But then again, watching someone waste away with cancer is not exactly fun. You know, nothing is. It's never easy. Let's put it that way.
No, it's not.
Definitely not easy.
But I think the bottom line is, if anybody's suffering, you know, trying to ignore the pain and keep it from surfacing really can only make it worse, you know, in the long run.
Right.
You know, for the real healing, I think it's necessary for anyone to really face your grief and actively deal with it, I think, is really the key. To success. And like I said, anybody grieves at any age, and loss is difficult to deal with. I mean, there doesn't a day go by I don't miss my grandparents, and, you know, and there's days I want to pick up the phone and call her, and I can't, you know, and I think that's always the hardest thing, I think, for anyone to deal with grieving. You know,
they say that about calling.
You know, about calling. I think that's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, with kids with special needs, there's definitely it's a whole nother level, and, you know, it's definitely something that, you know, you might not be able to do on your own. You might need a professional, you know, to interact and help you with, you know, your child that's dealing with the loss, for sure. So,
right.
But then I think it's a very important question and just a conversation to talk about. I mean, you know, you and I, we always think, you know, who's going to take care of our child when we're gone? I mean, that's always a real big one.
That's it.
So, you know, these are very, you know, difficult things to deal with, for sure. You know, I think it's a good topic to talk about, for sure. And on that note, you know, Lynn, there's a clip I want to play, you know, off this topic now. It's a new center that's going to be opening up called Lifetown. It's in Livingston, New Jersey. And, I just want to play this little clip. It's kind of interesting. It's going to be a center for kids with special needs, and they're going to be able to go there and do a lot of wonderful things. So I'm going to just play this clip for you guys real quick.
Like so many other children, this little girl is looking forward to a bright future. She wants to be just like all the other kids. But sometimes, that's a real challenge for children with autism and other special needs. Friendship Circle has been a leader in transforming the community's mindset about children and teens with special needs. And with Lifetown, They will be creating an integrated specialized facility to give them the ability to reach their fullest potential. This will be a center that will redefine the community landscape. Come on in and see.
So, Lynn, it's pretty interesting. This facility being built is going to have a ton of different things for kids to do. It's a great idea. It's something that definitely needed to be done. They're going to have, like, you know, an aquatic pool in there. They're going to have a lot of different things to do, tons of programs. And they say that it's going to estimate about 30,000 visitors will come through. And over 100 hours annually that'll be done. And, you know, it helps bring the families out of isolation and into a general community. Of course, this is one of my dreams as well, like Hope Village that, you know, I've been working on for many years and putting it together. It's a little different, but it's kind of on the same type principle somewhat. And it's a great facility, and I'm excited. I'm going to be taking a tour in the next couple of weeks. They have their grand opening, and I'm going to do a full tour and do a full cover story on it. So I just wanted to mention that to you guys to check it out and look forward to the you know, the next show when we go there on and check it all out. So, but I also want to get this out there, Lynn. Right around the corner, we have our golf outing, Monday, June 6th. It's at 9 a.m. and it goes till 6 p.m. at the Picanatinny Arsenal Golf Club. And we still have, you know, plenty of availability open for sponsorships as well as golfers. You can contact Adia Abswab at 973-785-9200. Her direct extension is 3392. Again, her number is 973-785-9200, extension 3392. And you can ask for Adia. And she coordinates all the golf outings. Lots of foursomes available, lots of sponsorship opportunities available. All the proceeds will benefit Autism Radio and Patterson and Passaic Girls and Boys Club. So it's a great outing. It's a great way to have a good time, play some great golf, have some food, and raise money for a good cause. So definitely come out and support it. I think it's a great idea, you know, to join us. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a beautiful golf course. They just redid the whole course this year. So it's really supposed to be spectacular. So definitely come out and join us. Also, Lynn, we have some great programs that we just started a couple weeks ago. We started an Autism Radio Iron Temple martial arts program. And they're located at 1 Camry Drive in Hampton, New Jersey, in Sussex County. My son actually partaked in it in the club. He had a great time. He loved it. He had a really good time. And it's an adaptive martial arts program, and it's developed to teach and motivate students with special needs. The program incorporates fitness, wellness, and into fundamentals, and the program is called Hope Spectrum Martial Arts Program, and it has a martial arts instructor with a therapist in every class, as well as volunteers to work with your kid. But I tell you, the first class, we had a couple kids there. I think we had 5 kids the first class, and it was a great class. And if we get more, we're able to fit up to like 12 in the first class, and then after that, we can even run a second class. So that's the beauty of it. So it's all a matter of the parents that come out. And I think I want to mention it. It's a free program. Okay. This is not cost you anything. It's a 45-minute program, even an hour we can run it. But usually it's a 45 minutes is what particular class runs. And it's a free program for your kids. I just think it's super. I mean, to me, if you live anywhere in that area, even if you have to drive a half an hour or 40 minutes, it's a free program. And it's worth every penny. I mean, Master Dave Fritz, who's the instructor who runs the program, is phenomenal. Phenomenal as a martial artist. He's also a staff sergeant for the state police. So he has lots of credentials to his name and to his character as well. And he's just awesome with the kids. You know, and there's some pictures and video. If you go on Facebook and Twitter, we have some stuff on there for our first class, which was on back on May 13th. The next class begins on, what did I say? That was coming up in June. What did I say it was? I forgot now. It was the next class. I just want to make sure I get this correct. We'll start on Friday, June 3rd. So the next class is June 3rd. So
which is pretty much coming up. Like,
yeah, it's a couple weeks away. It's not that far away. So definitely want to come out and check it out. Come out to the academy. Also, they have some other great martial arts programs I should mention as well. They do self-defense classes for women, kickboxing. They have a grappling program, kickboxing program, and then a traditional Hapkido martial art program. So they have a lot of great stuff, great instructors, wonderful people. They'll make you feel so at home and so welcome. It's like a big family over there. It's great. So definitely come out and check it out. Maybe Lynn, take a trip one day and bring Michael up and try it out, you know. It's definitely a great program. I know it's a little bit of a ride, but it's a great program to come out. But also we have the hockey. We have a special needs hockey program. This program is learn to skate, but also to give a chance to play for kids to possibly play hockey. It's for anybody with a physical or developmental disability has a chance to learn how to skate and possibly play hockey as well. So that actually starts back up on June. It's actually June 6th is the next class. We have a few weeks off. This Monday there's no class, and then next Monday is Memorial Day, I guess. That's Memorial Day weekend. Mm-hmm. So we start back up after that on Mondays. It's at Mondays at 6 o'clock. It's at Skylands Ice World, which is 2765 State Route 23 in Stockholm, New Jersey. The class runs from 5:30 to 7 p.m. And it's a free program to learn to skate. Another great program that Autism Radio brings to you. It's called Minarchs Learn to Skate Hockey Program. So definitely come out and check it out. You know, it's a great thing for another activity to do with your kids. So the more, the better. We got a lot of good stuff coming up. Is, of course, September 24th, casino night. Definitely opportunities for sponsorships and tickets that'll be on sale shortly. So we'll be bringing that all to you as it all unfolds. But that's all we have time for this week, Lynn. We'd like to thank all our listeners, as always, for the continued support here on the program, Hope Saves the Day. And be sure to go to autismradio.org to get all your latest updates on news in the autism community as well. And if you have any questions, please feel free to email us at questions@autismradio.org, as well as use our toll-free number at 1-877-HOPE-777. We'd like to wish everybody a great week. And remember, until next time, everybody, hope saves
every
the day.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice. And remember, hope saves the day. To show you what I see, what kind of life will I have, what's in store for me. Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world. Like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me.